Well, I don't know about you, but I find waiting to be a difficult task. I often try and do something else while I'm waiting, and then sometimes I even miss getting to the thing that I was waiting for, such as with cooking pine nuts. You put them in the oven, oh, I'll just do this one other task, and then it all ends up in a great cloud of black smoke. That's happened several times. But there's other kinds of waiting that are, of course, more challenging, you know, waiting for test results, waiting for something that is so important to you to begin. Maybe it's a relationship, something you're hoping for, waiting for something that's really difficult to end. You know, waiting raises up in us a sense of our inability to control what's happening. And that's always so hard. We want that to end. We want to do something to force it so that we don't have to continue waiting. Or we detach ourselves and disengage. Waiting is a difficult task, but it is also, because of this Jesus who has come to be in us and even to pray within us, and we'll get to that a little later, waiting is the time that actually Jesus can form us in profound ways if we are present with him in the waiting of our lives. Well, this interesting parable that Jesus tells about the bridesmaids or the young girls, it is sort of a story. It's about being prepared, but it is also a little bit about waiting. Five of them do it well, and five of them do it not well, and it doesn't end well for them. Remember, this is a parable. It's a story Jesus is telling to get people's attention in a particular way. This is in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem, and he knows that there is going to be this very important thing that he is going to do. He is going to give his life on the cross for Israel, and he wants people to be prepared to receive that gift of his messiahship, that they would turn to him. He has the way for them to be restored in the now and for eternal life. And it's urgent that they listen to his message. And he's told a bunch of stories in this last 20 from chapter 21 to 25, all about the urgency of turning to him as Messiah. So first of all, it's a wedding. Weddings have significance in the Bible because in the Old Testament, there was this whole sense that Israel was the bride that God had prepared to love and cherish forever. And Jesus has himself, he's compared himself to a bridegroom. So the alert listener should be knowing, oh, he is the bridegroom. And then there was another story about a king who throws this elaborate wedding banquet, but none of the guests who were invited bothered to show up. There's an urgency to recognizing the importance of the bridegroom, who is Jesus, and responding to him in the right way. That's what all these stories are about. So it's a wedding, and apparently in the ancient Near East, the cool thing to do was to have a torch-lit procession. You know, we have a couple of sparklers now sometimes when the bride and groom leave. The cool thing to do on the night of the wedding was to have the groom would go from a house to a house. The bridesmaids would be there to have him process in majesty with torches to the big wedding feast. So that's part of what we've got here going on. And then the characters, these bridesmaids. So in the Old Testament in Proverbs, there's a tradition where they would personify certain characters. Wisdom isn't just a thing, it becomes lady wisdom. And lady wisdom in Proverbs is giving pearls of good advice, how to live a rich and meaningful life. And meanwhile, lady folly is out there just seducing people into the most reckless ways of living life. And so there's this comparison between a way of wisdom and a way of folly. And Jesus takes those personified characters and he turns them into the five wise girls and the five foolish girls. Now, there have been some commentaries that sort of go into, well, what exactly was the oil? What does that mean? Whatever. And I kind of am down with N.T. Wright, who says it's really just about being prepared. It is about being prepared and recognizing the most important decision of our lives, which is whether or not we are going to allow Jesus to be the one that we entrust our lives to. That's really what it's all about. And it's not actually, since we know Jesus is telling this story before he's even crucified, it's not really about the end times. It's about the now of our life. Right now, are we prepared to receive Jesus as Lord in the middle of whatever circumstances we find ourselves, in the middle of our waitingness? In the middle of our waitingness of our lives, are we willing to receive Jesus? And, you know, I always wonder if this is just repeating something too many times, but there is a way that the Episcopal Church ceremonially receives Jesus on our behalf. In our baptism, we were infants, and the church on our behalf received Jesus for us. And then, you know, some willingly, not some so willingly, in confirmation class, said the words, you know, and you know in your own life whether you were prepared to really make that commitment or not. And all of those things are good. But there needs to be, there is an urgent need in our life, in our own will, at the center of ourselves, the part that gets to say yes and the part that gets to say no. Our innermost will, have we said, yes, Jesus, I don't want to live my life on my own steam anymore. It's too exhausting. I don't have control anyway. It's scary saying you're going to be in control. I might not get it right. But you know what? I want you. I thank you for everything you have done for me. I accept it, Lord God, and I want you to be my companion, my shepherd, my God, my King, my Lord, my Savior. Whatever all those words mean, check, 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 check. I want to find it out with you. That is urgent. And I would say, essentially, that is the message of this parable. Have we said that? Have we said that with our innermost self? And then, if we have, there's really good news. Because no waiting is ever the same as those bridesmaids waiting in the dark. Because Jesus has promised us that he actually will come. He has given us a down payment of his Holy Spirit to be in us, to actually pray in us. So we may feel like we're just waiting, we don't know that we're doing the right thing, maybe we're not thinking the most charitable thoughts, maybe we're trying to control things. But our hope rests in the Holy Spirit that Jesus said would be with us always in that exact waiting place to form us and to guide us. That's waiting in hope. And I'm going to read to you a wonderful, it's a transliteration of the Bible called The Message. And this is from Romans chapter 8, 26, 28. This is specifically about the fact that when we wait now, we wait in the good company of the Holy Spirit, who is actually praying in us. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us. making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition. He uses this idea that we're pregnant with the Holy Spirit. And we're getting larger and larger with the Holy Spirit waiting. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God, in the moment, always present before God. Not, if only when I'm waiting for that result, that's when my life is going to be good. No, here now, even without that, God is with me. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. So even in the waiting of our lives, which we're all doing in a variety of ways, waiting for Christmas vacation, waiting, there is the presence of God that is actually doing something in that very waiting. It's the possibility of mellowing us in a way. We put down the controls, we accept the waiting, and we look for how it is that God is shaping us, even in that moment, and we do it in hope. Because of the love of God that we have seen in Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection, because of the life, the real embodied life of Jesus that those disciples risked everything to tell. Because of that, we can wait in hope. And that is the preparation. That's the oil, waiting in hope. May it be so.